You're in the home 6010.
Fantasy Focus Football is back and presented by Geico. Switch to Geico and see all the ways you could save. We've made it.
Yep.
It's here.
It is here. The season debut of the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast.
It's August 1st right now. I mean, we are literally starting the show on August 1st, and August is football. I mean, what are we, 4 days away from the first game preseason, and we're off and running.
Three or four? I guess it depends on how you define day structure, right? Yeah. The game's on Thursday. So is Thursday 3 days from now?
So give me like 10 minutes. I'll figure this out.
We'll have that answer for you in the next block.
I have to start over.
Mike's really good with numbers, but days of the week have always been difficult for me.
I mean, I'm still kind of learning that.
Yeah. Every man has his sort of like ledge that he can't quite walk past. And for Mike, it's counting the number of days.
I get stuck there. It just doesn't make any sense to me. Numbers or letters, can't do it.
So it's a new season of the Fantasy Focus. It is a humbling experience to be a part of this show every single year. Obviously, some changes coming up this year. We have different personnel. But for those of you that may be listening to the show for the first time this year because you're thinking about getting into fantasy football, first of all, great. Welcome. You should be doing that. It's a wonderful idea. You may never turn back from your love for fantasy football. I'm Field Yates. He's Mike Clay. He's Daniel Dopp. I guess if you're listening to this podcast, you're like, where are you pointing? The answer is there to my left. If you're watching the live stream, also a great idea because we are going to be live streamed every single day. We're going to get to a lot of news and a lot of football in just a bit. A huge NFL story broke this morning, but here's the nitty gritty that you need to know about the Fantasy Focus if you weren't previously familiar, or if you're coming back and you're saying, is it the usual schedule? If you listened to last year's show, it is the usual schedule. We will be live 5 days a week, 11 a.m. to noon Eastern time, and that's going to go all the way until the regular season is over. So we're here from before your drafts take place until your playoffs are over, and we can't wait for it. We have some surprises in store once the regular season begins, but for August, 11 a.m. to noon Eastern time.
Yep.
And you can watch a lot of different ways. You can watch on Twitter. You can watch on the ESPN app. You can maybe watch on TikTok. I don't even know if that's the case or not.
You can watch on YouTube.
You can definitely watch on YouTube. And that's where we want you to be, right? We want people to be living in the YouTube comments. We want you to have a blast because the community that we have seen over the years in those streaming sections has been awesome. So let's keep it rolling. You can go to ESPN's YouTube channel. If you don't already use YouTube, it's very easy to familiarize yourself with. It is an awesome way to be interactive. And we're going to find ways to engage the audience that is there on the YouTube stream every single day. I see some extremely successful shows that are crushing it on YouTube. I hope that we can be that same level of a show because it is a great way. It is a very modern way to consume media today.
Agreed.
I think if you have someone on your show with like a big beard and like a band t-shirt, like that's probably the trick.
Right.
Like to reach the kids these days.
I think so. You put
we
up
have
a bunch
that
of
now.
You
we
put
have
the
that now.
Records behind you and hope that someone from the bands recognize it and then they tweet it out and then a whole bunch of bands like finally realize, hey, we're on Fantasy Focus.
Wow.
I mean, there's a Peter the Lion record right behind me, a Julian Baker record.
What was
right
like
behind
the
me?
Like if you had to think, Daniel, I know it's probably like a random question. Like, when was the last time that happened? Or like a band happened to notice that they were on the Focus podcast?
Has over this the
happened?
Weekend. Over the weekend.
Oh, okay. It was over the weekend. Got
over the
it.
Weekend. There's a band called Michigander that has a record right behind your shoulder and they happened to notice, sent out a tweet, and it was really great. Michigander is a great band. They actually are from the same city that I grew up in Midland, Michigan. So shout out to our dudes here.
Are you allowed to be named Michigander if you're not a band from Michigan?
I don't think so, which is why it's okay, because they are a band from Michigan. Yeah,
very fitting.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
that's good to know. I was wondering that over
shout
the
out to all the crappy bands.
I had a lot of time on my hands. We do a thing called Double Trouble. Are you familiar with this, Mike Clay?
I am very familiar with that.
Tell me about what happens with Double Trouble. What do
on
we do?
On Double Trouble, every day we will pick two National Football League franchises, and we'll talk about the fantasy relevant players on each of those teams, you know, so two at a time every day until the season starts. We'll cover them all.
And what is the fastest you've ever run a marathon?
The fastest I've ever run a marathon, 0000000.
Okay.
So the record.
Gotcha.
Because I haven't done one.
You don't? Oh, okay. Do you like the, you know those bumper stickers, the 26.2 bumper stickers?
I know them.
Yeah. I like those. I was,
Mike's would say 0.0.
I was 0.0. Yes. Yeah. Well, there's actually a,
I'm
there's
a record a, holder.
There's a great bumper sticker I saw this summer and it was a 0.0 and below it, the caption was, doesn't do bleep.
yes.
I was like, I want one like, of those. So bad.
That's me.
Yeah. So that was a good bumper sticker. Anyways, the reason I bring up marathons is 2 weeks from today, the ESPN Fantasy Football Marathon begins, and it goes for like over 24 hours. Yep. It is an incredible experience. There's going to be drafts. There's going to be Fantasy Football Now. This show, if you're watching Sports Center in the morning, you're going to see rankings panels. If you're watching Get Up or if you're watching any other show, this just in, maybe even, I don't know, I mean, I haven't talked to the fine folks at NBA today, but perhaps we can weave some fantasy basketball in there as right?
I'm in.
I'm going to talk to their people. See if we can get our people to talk to their people.
Heck yeah.
Lot of fantasy content for 24 plus hours. That's Monday, August 15th to Tuesday, August 16th. We'll have plenty more information on the variety of pieces of content that will be available during the marathon and basically everything you need to know. And if there are ways you can be involved, we want you to sign up. We have had like literally over 1 million people sign up for an ESPN.com league during the marathon and seasons past. We want to set a new record this year. We're going to aim high and we hope to succeed. All right. So that's the nitty gritty. We also have a lot of stuff to get you caught up on. And we're going to talk about a ton of trades. And yes, we were doing shows during the offseason. Those were fun. Daniel, thank you for carrying the load. I feel like Daniel is by far the most consistent presence on those shows.
Well, everybody else has real... I mean, you just had a baby field. I mean, recently, you know, Mike... I actually don't really know what Mike
we're
does.
We're getting a pool installed at some point.
Oh, yeah, so Mike's getting a pool installed. So I had to handle that load,
so
guys.
Basically the same thing.
Right.
And I would say the same amount of labor on that.
Huh? Are you really?
Yeah, he's getting a pool installed.
When's the invite? Tomorrow, so we'll have a preseason party, maybe.
If you don't, I will be extremely offended.
Right. Yeah, we're going to do a streaming. Let's do a live stream show from the pool.
Done. That would be awesome. That would actually be awesome.
How tough would that be?
That could possibly work out.
Pool's
anyways,
not even there yet, but
some of the stuff we're going to talk about. It's all right. Don't listen. Your wife won't care.
So anyway, I've been busy. That's mostly my off season. I did a draft. I did like one mock draft.
You did a mock draft
at some point. So I've heard of good. I've heard of some of these players.
Okay.
So we're prepared. I mean, look, we have all the projections up. We have our nice, pretty looking.
Yeah, throw it up there.
Just grab this. This is on newsstands right now. Our magazine is out there with the articles, capsules, all that fun stuff. Projections, the draft guide, cheat sheets, everything you need is up on the site right now. So that's all there for you. You can do mock drafts. You can start your league. You can do all that fun stuff. So we're ready to go. We have a good feel for this season, and we're going to spend the next month getting you ready for your fantasy football drafts.
We cannot wait for what is ahead. That much is for sure. But just a reminder, the reason I mentioned that is there were some things that we covered during off-season podcast that we'll cover again today. That's okay. Never hurts to dive back into some of these major stories. But let's start by catching you up. And Let's Catch You Up is brought to you by NerdWallet. On the fence over which credit card to get? With NerdWallet's side-by-side comparisons of top credit cards, you don't have to be. NerdWallet, the smartest decision for all of your financial decisions. And news broke this morning, right around 8:30 a.m., that Cleveland Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson has been suspended 6 games. That has been decided upon by Sue L. Robinson, a former judge who has been appointed as the person that serves as the intermediary between the NFL and the NFLPA on significant discipline matters. Deshaun Watson did not play at all last season, although that was not due to punishment. It was because of the circumstances in Houston before he was traded to the Browns this offseason. On this show, we're really aware that Deshaun Watson is one of the most notable and one of the most talented quarterbacks in the NFL. As a result of that, there is some fantasy football impact that we're going to dive into. But we're going to dive into that as we get a little bit more context. And this story has a little more time to pass, because for right now, I think we all agree that this is a story that extends far beyond fantasy football. We'll talk about it. There's always the saying, you know, right time and place. The right time and place will come soon enough. We're going to have a Double Trouble edition of the Browns at some point. We're going to have tons of Browns content. We'll talk about them in just a moment with Amari Cooper. Lots of Browns content to come, but for now, the Deshaun Watson conversation, we'll put it on hold with a little bit more info at a later date. Let's get into the trades, though. And there were a lot of wide receiver trades on top of the quarterback trade that included Deshaun Watson and, of course, Russell Wilson. Offseason wide receiver trades, it felt like I was getting punked because there were so many of them, right? It was like every time you turned, it was like, Who else got traded? Let's rip through them. We'll go back and forth. Mike, you'll get first dibs here on Davante Adams. He goes to the Raiders and goes from playing with Aaron Rodgers to Derek Carr as college quarterback. Thoughts on what this means for Davante?
Yeah, so I think it's a slight downgrade, but still a guy that could finish top five, right? Because, you know, that sounds like, well, you're still ranking him really high, not much of a change. But this is a guy that's been a top three scorer three of the past four seasons, right? He has been elite. He's been that top scorer. He's been 97th percentile or higher in target share like 4 years in a row, right?
Right.
So, look, the fact is this is one of the best players in the NFL, no doubt about that. But he's going from Aaron Rodgers to Derek Carr. And look, Derek Carr, underrated.
Really good player.
Very good, but not quite the two-time reigning NFL MVP, right? The Packers offense, very pass-heavy and high-scoring. Maybe not quite as pass-heavy or high-scoring with Josh McDaniels in this Raiders offense, right? And again, when you're 29 years old and you're seeing target shares in the 97th percentile year after year, you know, you can't necessarily expect that. Again, in your age 29 season. So across the board, some minor decreases. Still going to be a feature target. Still super talented. Still a good quarterback. Still a good offense. More competition with the Raiders. We should mention that too. Darren Waller, Hunter Renfrow. So slight downgrade for me. Not as high a ceiling. But again, still a mid-range wide receiver two.
And a guy,
wide receiver one, excuse me.
Yeah, I was going to say. And depending on how and where you draft and how many teams there are, not a surprise if he creeps into the back end of the first round.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Tyreek Hill also got traded. These happened very close to each other. A lot of money involved for each. Daniel, he goes to the Dolphins and now no longer playing with Patrick Mahomes, but he has a lot of confidence, does Tyreek Hill, in Tua. Find yourself, I had a hype man like Tyreek Hill is for Tua.
Well, it's about time that Tyreek Hill finally plays with an accurate quarterback, Tyreek Hill's comments.
Correct.
But let's, in all honesty, a little bit of a downgrade for Tyreek Hill, right? Going from Patrick Mahomes to Tua Tagovailoa.
Yeah.
But at the same point, that offense is still going to throw the ball a ton. They don't have a great running game. Correct me if I'm wrong here. But Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill are going to absolutely run that offense. Definitely still a top 10 wide receiver, but a bit of a downgrade going from that Chiefs offense to Miami Dolphins offense. Now run by Mike Daniels, who wants to run the ball a bit more, or was a little bit more run heavy in the past, correct?
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and I think the other thing is, like, you know, quarterback, obviously a downgrade here. And I think that one of the things that we always talk about, and whether you can back this up with stats or not, I'm sure you could, like, the number of unscripted plays between Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill, where he just breaks the pocket, chucks it 50 yards down the field, and Tyreek Hill turns into an 80-yard touchdown pass. Those are hard to replicate with a quarterback that's not Patrick Mahomes. Tua's okay mobility-wise, not great. But the other thing is, and I'm sure this is where Mike's going to end up at some point, is that Tyreek Hill was not as consistent as you might think last year. This is a guy who last season, I think, had eight games outside the top 30 for wide receivers.
Five top 10s, eight finishes of 40th or worse.
40th. I had 30, so eight of 40th or worse. So I just think that with Tyreek Hill, even if he has an outstanding season that comes close to where his numbers were last year in Kansas City with 111 catches, you're going to have to ride the wave a bit more than you would with someone like Cooper Kupp or Justin Jefferson or Ja'Marr Chase at the top of the wide receiver board.
So this is, he only had one season with over 100 catches, Tyreek Hill. He's had two seasons with double-digit touchdowns. I'm just curious, but this doesn't have to mean anything. Do you think that Tyreek Hill hits double-digit touchdowns or hits 100 catches this year with Tua Tagovailoa under center?
100 catches more likely.
Than
I would say a
touchdowns.
Lot of short-range stuff, do a lot with your feet kind of thing, as opposed to them scoring a massive amount of touchdowns, especially with a lot of mouths to feed in that offense.
But if he's catching 100-plus passes, I wonder if that means Jalen Waddle can as well. Like, I think it's just hard in general to have two 100-catch receivers on an offense. I feel like the Bears with Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey back in the day came close. You Broncos with Eric Decker and...
Let's just make it happen, though. Let's just make it happen.
Cool. Yeah,
it'll depend how good Tua is, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Chase and Higgins did it, so why not? Let's go, Tua. It's on you, man. You have to pay off these ADPs for us.
Based off of rankings and just sort of general feel, we all agree that Tua, Tyreek's value does drop. He's closer to the back end of our wide receiver one conversation as opposed to the front end. He is ranked eighth in terms of ESPN consensus ranks going into the season. Mike, I'm sure you were very excited when your Eagles acquired A.J. Brown. As far as the fantasy needle is concerned, did it move at all?
Again, we've used this phrase a million times. I'm going to do it again. He goes from an extremely run-heavy offense to an extremely run-heavy offense, right? And look, the Eagles, I do expect to be a bit more balanced this season. Why not? You traded for A.J. Brown, gave him a lot of money. You have Devontae Smith. You have Dallas Goedert, right? There's reason to balance out your offense a little bit. But again, I think his ceiling is a little capped, right? This is a guy that's basically hung as a fringe wide receiver, one super efficient, but low volume. And you might see some of that here, right? He just might, every week, you might be like, man, he's just never has them 10 or 12 target games because they're at least balanced, maybe lean toward the run, and you have other mouths to feed. So for me, I think he's a fine a good wide receiver too because of how talented he is.
Yeah.
But I don't know that he's ever going to be a guy where like he's the number one scorer at receiver.
I'm going to talk about this a ton as we're talking about sort of draft theory over the next month is that he could be, he's ranked 14th, 13th in our ESPN consensus ranks. You and I actually have them both at 14, Mike. If he's your wide receiver one going into the season, it's totally fine. Like I'd be okay with a board that shakes out that way for you in your draft. He is just not a wide receiver one by definition of a one mm-hmm. through 10 ranking and a guy that maybe, as Mike noted, would be like the volume is just not as much of a guarantee as some of the players that are ranked higher on there and on the rankings panel. Talent turned out a question though with AJ Brown. The other wide receiver, the last name Brown to get traded this offseason, Marquise Hollywood Brown goes to the Cardinals, and Daniel, at least for the first 6 weeks, no DeAndre Hopkins. He should be extremely busy.
Should be really busy. I'm excited to be able to see what he can do in that offense. It does look like you said, Nuke is going to be gone for 6 weeks. You've got Rondale Moore. You've got AJ Green. I still have Zach Ertz in that offense. Interested to see what Trey McBride is going to be able to do. But when I mention all of those names, none of them are even close to the level that Hollywood Brown is. He is far and away going to be the guy in that offense. And I think someone that I'm looking at as sort of my wide receiver two, back end wide receiver two, when I'm looking to be able to get him maybe more of a high end flex play, but definitely on a weekly basis within that offense, like he's got a lot of excitement ahead of him.
I think he stock up compared to where he was in Baltimore for a variety of reasons. Yep. Mike, you really think so? You're bullish on him. You got him 20th in your wide receiver rank.
Yeah, I like him a lot. I think he's one of the most underrated players in the league.
In what regard? Like fantasy-wise or like just talent-wise?
Just both.
Both.
I think he's just not really viewed like one of the... I mean, he's a first-round pick, right? This guy, I believe he's the first receiver pick that year.
Was he?
If I'm not mistaken. I think so. But
I'm about to find out.
Anyway.
I generally don't doubt my play.
Past two seasons, top 12 in target share, top 5 in average depth of target, right? He's getting a lot of vertical work. Very productive. Yeah. And check this out, too. If you just look at his year-end results last year, it could be a little misleading. He was wide receiver 11. Yeah, but wide receiver 11 in games with Lamar Jackson. Without him, 67th.
Yeah,
like he plummeted when he did not have Lamar Jackson there. Obviously, he's going to have a terrific quarterback in Arizona with Kyler Murray. So, look, I'm very high on him. Obviously, the 6 games with DeAndre Hopkins out, but he's still going to be up there when Hopkins comes back. I mean, keep in mind, Hopkins, his target share plummeted last year by like 10 percentage points, like plummeted. He really was bailed out by touchdown. So I think Brown will sustain a substantial role all season long in a very good high scoring offense and maybe gets to the next level this season. So I love him.
Just a quick question for those that just want to know, coming from Lamar to Kyler, Lamar is a better running quarterback, not quite as accurate. Mm-hmm. Kyler can run as well. Very good runner, but he's a more accurate quarterback than Lamar.
Totally. Yeah, I mean, sure. Kyler completed nearly 70% of his passes last season. The Ravens offense, I think in some people's eyes, grew stale, but definitely more vertically inclined in the Arizona offense. Mm-hmm. And maybe that'll change with the addition of Hollywood Brown, but I wouldn't be surprised if Hollywood Brown actually benefits from the change and is targeted less down the field, which might mean fewer opportunities for 50-yard touchdowns, which are cool and all, but maybe Mike's point is correct in that, like, once DeAndre Hopkins returns, Hollywood Brown could still maintain a target share somewhere from like 21 to 25%, which if you're new to this game, if you're anywhere above 20, it catches my attention right away.
Yes.
If you're above 25, it's elite. If you're in the 30s, it's like you're Devontae Adams for the past few years with the Green Bay Packers. Let's talk about some quarterback trades. Oh, sorry, one more. Amari Cooper, who, as I mentioned earlier, goes to the Cleveland Browns. And Daniel, this kind of has the backdrop of the Deshaun Watson decision. Our rankings before this morning for Amari Cooper, 25, really talented guy. Seemingly the only option in Cleveland that's truly established amongst the wide receivers.
Yep.
But how much does the inconsistency of years past bother you this year?
A little bit, given the fact that he's going to have 6 games with Jacoby Brissett under center. So that doesn't bring me as much confidence if it was with a different quarterback. However, that being said, I planned on, as a part of the way that I was ranking Amari Cooper, I planned on Deshaun Watson being out for 6 to 8 games. Mm-hmm. So my ranking of him is fairly indicative of where it's at in that kind of an offense. I have him as a mid to low end flex play right now.
Yeah, I think that
with part boom of, weeks, like when Deshaun comes back and plays, he's obviously going to be more than just a low end flex. But like you got those 6 games where he's not going to be having Deshaun.
We'll talk about this more with guys like Amari Cooper and DeAndre Hopkins and Michael Thomas, who we'll see how close to 100% of Michael Thomas he is at the beginning of the season. But the idea that like where they're ranked in the preseason may not be where we forecast them to be, like by week 12.
Uh huh.
6 weeks into Deshaun Watson's reign as the starter with the Browns, perhaps you're more confident in Amari Cooper than a mid-tier wide receiver three. Maybe he's a lock-it-in top 12 or 15 wide receiver. Wouldn't be a stunning thing, but going into the season, you have to account for no Deshaun Watson early in the year, plus the possibility that Amari Cooper just stays inconsistent. That has been a problem for him when he was playing with an elite quarterback in Dak Prescott.
Yeah, this reminds me of that old expression, you know, if it applies to running backs, if you need 1 yard, I'll get you 2 yards. If you right. need 3 yards, I'll get you 2 yards, right? Like Amari Cooper has finished top 30 in fantasy points per game every year of his career. He has never had a top 10 season, right? He just has never, he was drafted to be an elite guy. He's never gotten over the top from a fantasy perspective. Part of that has been volume, right? He just has never seen that huge volume we were talking about. He's like floating around a 20% target share.
Yeah.
Can't get to 25 or 30. And not sure if that necessarily changes in Cleveland. It hasn't throughout, what, 7, 8 years in the league? So
wouldn't surprise me if they're the run-heaviest team in the NFL this year. I know they added Deshaun Watson, right? But, like, you know, they have the ingredients to be one of the run-heaviest teams in the NFL with a great offensive line, a good defense. If they're winning games that way, they're probably not going to be inclined to change.
Right. So back in, you know, maybe mid-range wide receiver two is probably where he caps out, but probably not getting a wide receiver one season at him at this point, right? That's just, he is what he is at this point.
Let's talk quarterback trades. And Daniel, I'm thinking I'm going to let you take the wheel here as we discuss five. I mean, some of them a little bit less important than others, but five quarterback trades this offseason.
Yeah, let's start with Russell Wilson because I am excited. Being able to come out from Seattle, hopefully the Broncos are going to let Russ cook. Got a lot of potential weapons in that Broncos offense. Mike, you've got him at quarterback 11 outside your top 10. Fields, you've got him at 9 just inside your top 10. ESPN consensus is 10. So he's hovering right around that 10 mark. Mike, I'm curious, when you're looking at Russell Wilson, that transition, coming back from injury, the new skill position players that he has, why is it that you have him outside the top 10 rather than potentially looking at being able to make that next step here with this team?
Yeah, it's weird that I come in like I'm negative on him or low because we've talked about this, right? It's like from like 4 to 12, we've talked about this. It's like they could be anywhere. Like if Russ finishes QB4, wouldn't surprise me at all.
And QB1 wouldn't surprise me.
That's fair. Yeah. I mean, but you're not going to draft him QB1, but certainly within the range of possibilities. I mean, check this out. Before last season, which was a disaster, he was hurt and the team struggled. Top 10 every season in his career. Even last year, which was kind of a struggle, he was still top 10 in 50% of his games. That was 9th best. And also, he's been top 7 in average depth to throw 4 of the past 5 seasons, right? So he's pushing the ball downfield, and he has the targets to do that, right? Like, you lose Tyler Lockett, you lose DK Metcalf, but you get Courtland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy and Tim Patrick and KJ Hamler, and, you know, you can go on and on.
Albert
even
Okwebenom.
Okwebenom, of course, Dulcich maybe plays a lot. Javonte Williams, he has the targets there, a serviceable offensive line to have a huge season. So I know I'm at 11th. If you want to take him 7th or 6th, fine, right? He's a QB1. You're going to feel good starting him every week.
Yeah, the problem with some, like with assessing someone like Russell Wilson and saying something that I'm going to say right now is that it applies to a lot of quarterbacks. He feels extremely safe to me, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't have any doubt in my mind that Russell Wilson is going to average north of like 18 points per game this year, and the ceiling could be more like 23 points per game, which, again, if you're new to this, like, I would argue that if my quarterback is averaging 18 fantasy points per game, I'm going to feel okay with it, right? Like, he's not going to be the best, but I'm also not going to be like, God, that is a super terrible spot for my quarterback every single week. Mm-hmm. Like, it's when you have a guy who's at 15 or 14 points per game where you're like, I really could upgrade there. I think Russ is super safe this year. The weapons, even if we haven't seen them all fully formed, have a ton of potential. And so Russell Wilson, say what you want about how last season ended. If anybody is here to prove and he has certainly made it very clear he's going to prove us all wrong.
Yeah.
It is Russell Wilson this season.
Are people doubting him?
Russell Wilson could literally be given the NFL MVP and his acceptance speech could be like, you know, never been voted for this before, so let's ride. I'm going to win it again next year. It's like, dude, you just got like the highest individual on-field award in the league. Like, Russell Wilson could be gifted a $1 billion contract and say, well, like, one day someone's going to sign one for $2 billion. It's like, okay, but you're also like the richest person ever in the NFL now. So Russell Wilson will always find motivation.
That's totally fair.
Also, I'm just in on the narrative of Russell Wilson playing 2 games against the Chiefs and the Chargers and the Raiders. If you give me 6 games against those high-scoring offenses, like that's...
I can't wait for the AFC this year. That's going to be a topic
ready for it.
Over the next month for sure. The AFC is going to be unbelievable. Yeah. So much talent went from the NFC to the AFC. A lot of talent added in the draft. It's going to be so fun to watch them games. So you mentioned it the other day, like 38-35. We're going to see plenty of that.
I'm
all
so stoked.
All the time.
All right, what about from the Colts, Field? Are we going to see 38-35 out of a Matt Ryan-led Colts offense with the trade from Atlanta to Indianapolis?
Great player, one-time NFL MVP, been to a Super Bowl. I think he's going to be an upgrade for Indianapolis over Carson Wentz, but he's off my radar as far as fantasy redrafts are concerned. I know we're like, you know, in a two quarterback league, like virtually every quarterback matters. So yes, he matters in a two quarterback league, but we're thinking 10 or 12 team leagues here. No, Matt Ryan does not matter to me for a lot of reasons. I think we all understand, right? Has no value with his arms or with his legs. He does have some value with his arms. His right arm specifically is pretty valuable. This is a team that could be a one of the top five run heaviest offenses in the NFL. They've got perhaps the best running back in the NFL in Jonathan Taylor, very good offensive line. And you look at the pass catchers right now in Indianapolis, they have one player that I think we all sort of feel like really good about as a pass catcher. That's Michael Pittman. You move beyond Michael Pittman and it's guys who have some upside, but have something to prove. It's Alec Pierce, a draft pick this year out of Cincinnati. It's Paris Campbell, who we've all been waiting for. This is his fourth pro season. They've got tight ends that are fine, right? Mo Alley Cox. And, you know, they've made investments in the draft over the past couple of years at tight end. But it's not exactly a great pass catching group here for Matt Ryan. So I'd be surprised if anybody has him ranked inside their top 15 for quarterbacks, maybe even their top 20.
Yeah, QB 11 or worse, five of the past seven seasons. And that was in a very pass heavy offense a lot of the time. Now he goes to your point, a very run heavy offense. And there was I saw a report that they may try to balance that a little more. It's still Jonathan Taylor's show. Yeah. I mean, in a good offensive line, they're going to run the ball. So I'm with you. Just no upside here. You don't need to go that direction.
You can aim differently at quarterbacks. Yes. Is very good about it. Right,
so Matt Ryan takes over for Carson Wentz, who now goes to the Commanders. Both of you have him ranked as quarterback 20. ESPN consensus is quarterback 24. Obviously, in a 10 to 12 team league, even in a 14 or 16 team league, he is not a starter. He is somebody you're looking at as a backup in a two quarterback league, potentially. I'm just curious, upside on what you think Carson Wentz can be, because we have, Mike, we've seen Carson Wentz look like an MVP candidate, and we've seen the dark side of what Carson Wentz can be as well.
Yeah, he has a couple top 12 seasons under his belt throughout his career. Finished 13th last year, but appeared in every game, right? So there's a little bit of survivor bias in there. Now he wasn't that Colts offense, so we just said it was very run heavy. Now he goes to Washington. Also very run heavy last season. And if you look back at the history of Ron Rivera, and you know, he's not necessarily calling the plays, but it's his scheme, it's his team, he's the head coach. Generally, they've always been maybe balanced here or there, generally lean toward the run, right? So we might not see a big change. They drafted another day two running back, right? Yep. They're going to lean toward the run. So again, a lot like Ryan, I think the ceiling's capped. I think he's a mid-range quarterback two at best, probably safer as a back end. If you're in a super flex league and he's your QB2 and you load it up on skill positions early, fine. Like, that's not going to crush you, but I don't think he's a guy that's close to the QB1 radar.
Only thing that I'll add, and I probably should have made mention of this for Matt Ryan, is that as far as the skill players are concerned, I think Matt Ryan helps Michael Pittman. I think he's a better player than Carson Wentz. I think he can help some of those guys that we mentioned, like Alec Pierce or Paris Campbell. Carson Wentz, even if he's a downgrade from Matt Ryan for Indianapolis, I believe is an upgrade for Washington over what they were doing last year, which is sort of like this roulette, right? It was like every time you turned, Taylor Heineke was starting games for a prolonged period of time, and they had some injuries. Next thing you know, they're starting Garrett Gilbert in a game. Carson Wentz, not an elite quarterback, but I think generally speaking means better things for Terry McLaurin who Curtis Samuel, if he stays healthy, and Jahan Dotson.
Yep.
So I would say that's an important part of these remaining quarterback trades, because I don't think any of them are going to be anywhere close to the top 15 or so in our quarterback rankings.
I was going to say that applies to the next guy too very well. That's pretty much all I could say about him from a fantasy perspective.
The next guy is Baker Mayfield, obviously taking over in Carolina. CMC, DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson, i.e. Robbie Anderson now, I'd like everyone to know, no longer R-O-B-B-Y. Terrace Marshall, I'm excited about him too. But not somebody that it doesn't look like is in this consideration here as a starting quarterback in 10, 12 fantasy team leagues.
Yeah, he's averaging 9.5 rushing yards per game in his career as Baker Mayfield. And he's not locked into the starting job necessarily. You know, he still has to learn this offense. We'll see. He better win it. I mean, he better win that job, because Sam Darnold has not gotten the job done, was not good last year. Baker Mayfield has flashed, and they need him. They need Baker to pan out and be the guy, or they're in trouble. I mean, the Panthers can't keep riding with bad quarterback play. It's really limiting the production of some of these other guys as well. But I do expect Baker to win this job, and I expect it to help the cause of DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson and Christian McCaffrey. DJ Moore, so good. Again, underrated player because he has had historically awful touchdown luck.
Right.
The last 3 years, bad touchdown luck. I think if Baker is competent, which I think he is, I think a healthy Baker Mayfield is solid, that he'll be, you know, more can get over the hump and start scoring some touchdowns.
I think so too. Like, just really simple. He's better than Sam Darnold. He's an upgrade.
Yes.
I think that only helps these pass catchers, especially if we can get some consistency out of somebody not named DJ Moore amongst his wideouts. I'll just quickly grab the last one here, Daniel. It's Drew Lock, who goes from Denver to Seattle as part of the Russell Wilson trade. It's a downgrade. Duh. You're not drafting Drew Lock anywhere close. We don't even have to be the starting quarterback. It sounds like Geno Smith, as of August 1st, has the inside edge. And I think we have to have some real tough conversations over the next month about how much you depreciate the value of both DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. Mm-hmm. Because Russell Wilson, even if imperfect, much better than Geno Smith or Drew Lock. Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf did experience life without Russ for 3 games last year. A small sample size, but I think enough for us to realize that things will be different in Seattle this season. Let's go to rookies, Daniel.
Yeah, let's talk about some rookies. A couple guys that we are really interested in. Obviously, a lot of rookies coming in every single year.
Yeah.
However, there's a couple that we actually just want to talk about. Real quick, in case you have not been able to keep up with fantasy football. Mike, I'm going to start with you. Let's start with Drake London, the number one wide receiver off the board this year. What is it that you like about Drake London in this Falcons offense?
Yeah, first of all, something I'm going to talk about a lot, I think, the next month is that I think in general, the first round wide receivers in fantasy for this year, not dynasty, are undervalued across the board. I've been drafting them a ton. I don't know about you. You're doing a ton of drafts in redraft, right? Like Olave, London, Garrett Wilson, like they all stand out to me like a sore thumb. And the reason is very simple. And again, I can get into this deeper at some point, but first year, first round, especially receivers picked in the first half of the first round, they work. I mean, they get a lot of volume. They're productive in fantasy. They pan out at a very high rate, certainly over the last decade. So I've been drafting a ton of these guys, and London is the first guy on my board. I have him essentially as a wide receiver 3. I think he's wide receiver 2 upside. He's 6'4". He's going to be involved near the goal line. We know that. He is on Atlanta, and their number 2 wide receiver right now is Bryan Edwards, who did not work out with the Raiders.
He's hurt.
He's hurt. Alameda, Zacchaeus, you know, they just don't have the guy. Damir Bird. Those are his competition. He should be the immediate number one, step into a huge role right away. Every single down, 90% snap share, 25% target share. He's big. He's going to get the goal line work. He can play inside. He can play out. He can be used in short routes, downfield. Like, the guy can do it all. And I know it's not going to be a great offense. Like, I get it. You know, it's Marcus Mariota, Desmond Ridder. You're not going to score a ton of points. But that volume will add up, and volume is king, an expression I'm going to use 1 million times. So I'm in on London. He was my number one receiver pre-draft, and obviously he was the first receiver picked. So I like him dynasty. I like him season long. I have him on a lot of teams.
Love it.
Almost every year we're going to look at the top drafted running back or one of the top drafted running backs that have some fantasy value, right? If you're making an investment that's anywhere close to the first round in a running back, it generally means you want that player to start sooner rather than later, which brings you to Breece Hall of the New York Jets. He went to Iowa State. He's an incredible talent. Mm-hmm. The guy's a really good runner, awesome in the passing game as well. He can do it all. I think he's going to end up leading the Jets in rushing attempts, maybe even targets amongst running backs, but Michael Carter was really good in that role last year, so I'm not totally sold on that part of it. My big takeaway on Breece Hall, though, is that you may have to be patient here. It may be a frustrating start to this season with some payoff late in the year. The reason why I mention that is if you look at the Jets' schedule, it is chemically imbalanced in terms of the opponents that they play. Here's the Jets' early season slate. Ravens, Browns, no Deshaun Watson, but still. Ravens, Browns, Bengals, Steelers, good defense, right? Dolphins, good defense again. Packers, Broncos, Patriots, Bills, Patriots. That gets us to the last week of November, and here's where things turn. Bears, Vikings, Bills, they're really good. Lions, Jaguars, Seahawks, Dolphins. That second half of the season looks fairly useful, right? Like, the Jets could play well last year, like they played better going into the end of last season as well. So I do like the opportunity for Breece Hall later in the season. When we talk about game script in fantasy, it's like if you're playing and it's 21-0, you're down. Running backs that don't catch a lot of passes aren't nearly as valuable. It could be that the Jets are playing more competitive games in the back half. Breece Hall could shine later on in the season. Still, even in the early portions of the year, I think he's going to have some value because I do believe he'll lead the Jets in total opportunities out of the backfield. Daniel, who do you got?
I'm going to talk about James Cook here. I think it's easy to talk about wide. I don't want to say easy. Sorry, Mike. It is simple to talk about how many early first-round wide receivers there are.
I'll take a layup anytime. That's 2 points.
That's right. There's nothing wrong with that. But I think when you look at the running backs, I think the conversation is, when I'm looking at the number two guy in this draft, mm-hmm. is it Ken Walker or is it James Cook?
Yep.
And for me, for a couple reasons, it's James Cook. As much as I love Ken Walker, as much as I've talked up Ken Walker, that negative game script that potentially could happen all year long in Seattle with Geno Smith or Drew Lock under center, mm-hmm. the idea that we've got two running backs that may not be able to get out there and get 20 to 25 carries a game if they're always losing, if they're always playing from behind. Give me a running back, a pass-catching running back, yeah. on one of the best offenses in the NFL. Buffalo and Josh Allen have yet to really have a superstar running back be able to be a part of that team. I don't know if that's going to be James Cook, but I do know that I would take the upside on James Cook at running back before I would take any other rookie because of the quarterback and the offense that he's playing and just more options and opportunities to score points, I believe.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. I worry a little bit about Josh Allen not really targeting the running backs, right. which, you know, bothers me a little bit. But at the same time, the chance that he is the lead back, maybe he's better than they expect as a rusher, and he totally. Gets 10 or 11 carries and yeah. gets 5-6 targets. And like you said, high scoring offense, that's going to be fantastic. Obviously super, super effective player. But then again, he's never had what was it? 120 carries is his career high in college. Right. So I worry about that ceiling a little bit. Is he more like a Nyheim Hines, JD McKissick, or is he a guy that can eventually be a feature back? So some concerns, but some upside.
Has Josh Allen not utilized running backs as pass catchers because
chicken versus egg?
Yes. He just doesn't have one. Yeah. Is that
maybe
what it is?
I don't think so, but maybe a little bit of it.
Yeah. They also have awesome wide receivers.
Yes.
Really good tight end. Capable pass blocking offensive line. We'll see. I'm probably a little more Mike than Daniel on this one, but generally speaking, and we're talking about this a ton over the next month, I went upside. And if mm-hmm. you told me that James Cook by season's end was averaging 5 targets per game and 10 rushes a game, that's probably a player that's useful in 10 team leagues.
Worst case scenario. And this is, I don't want to say worst case, but you're drafting him as running back 40.
Yeah.
And Devin Singletary gets hurt on that offense,
very
and you just
shirts.
Have a running back forward. Like, that's unreal.
And Singletary, by the way, one of the only running backs to play every game in the last two seasons, which is, again, very rare. So I'm not wishing injury or even projecting injury, but that's going to be hard for him to sustain for 3 full seasons. It's the nature of the business.
Yep.
A running back, right? Him making it 3 full seasons is going to be really tough.
Busy free agency, as always. Let's dive into 5. And I'm not going to say the biggest moves, but 5 of the biggest moves, because I'm sure somebody who roots for a specific team that we don't mention would say, what about my guy? I get it. I feel you. But let's talk about 5 that we sort of whittled down this very big pool to a small, small stream. And we start with Allen Robinson going to the Rams, perhaps one of the most discussed wide receiver ADPs during this preseason. Mike, I have him at 34. You have him at 32. And to be candid with you, I don't know what to make of it. And here's the reason why. And I'll let you sort of have the hard part, right?
Yeah, let's get into the body language. Right. All of a sudden, you got comfortable.
I just don't know.
Yeah, we've talked about him quite a bit this offseason. I'm with you.
So Allen Robinson. In his career, has been an awesome player.
Yes.
Last year in Chicago, when there was very little competition for targets other than Darnell Mooney, and he was still the guy on the franchise tag, Allen Robinson looked like a different player to me. Had trouble separating, which has never been the greatest strength of his game, but just did not look like a dominant physical piece. However, he now goes to the Los Angeles Rams, who paid him a whole boatload of money. And at the time, it didn't feel like the Rams had a bunch of extra money to utilize that, like, they view this move as the kind of move that can help you become the first team since the 2003 and 2004 Patriots to repeat. He's got a great quarterback. Cooper Kupp is going to dominate targets. But besides that, at least for week one, there's not a lot of competition for targets on that roster otherwise. So I can't decide if Allen Robinson needs to be wide receiver 15 or wide receiver 45, and maybe I'm just sort of splitting the atom there and landing him close to wide receiver 30.
I agree 100%. I'm not, like, if you look at our rankings, it looks like I'm a little higher, but industry-wise, he's being drafted as a wide receiver too, right? So we're all, as a whole, kind of a little bit on the lower end here. I'm with you. I mean, look, a lot of people want to blame what happened in Chicago last year, but, I mean, he played in Chicago years before that, right?
It was great.
With shaky quarterback play, it was great. And also, Darnell Mooney had a big breakout season. Cole Kmet was pretty good last season, despite the lack of touchdowns. David Montgomery, basically a good RB2 when he was out there playing. I mean, other guys were productive. He was not. And that bothers me a little bit. So he's now 29 years old. He's no longer a number one wide receiver, which he's been throughout his career. Are you really expecting him to go from what you just talked about to a bounce back season at age 29? That's tough. I mean, especially because check this out. There was only one wide receiver age 29 or older to finish top 25 last year in fantasy points.
Sure.
So I there's a lot of reasons for to be hesitant here.
No, he was
Keenan Allen.
Keenan Allen. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. By the way, Allen Robinson getting $15 million a year seemed big at the time. Now that's like the 100th richest contract amongst wide receivers in the NFL. Daniel, if you had to choose a Chiefs wide receiver to lead them in targets this year,
Travis Kelce.
The option. Okay. Yeah.
Cheater.
How likely is it to be Juju Smith-Schuster, who signed a one-year deal worth up to $10 million with the Chiefs, but the base value is more like $3 million?
Yeah.
The point is, a lot to prove here, but I think he's still a pretty talented guy.
I think so, too. And I think he, if I am taking a shot on a Chiefs wide receiver, Juju Smith-Schuster, with the pedigree that we have seen him have, a pedigree that he is, and the what is it we've seen him do in the past, he's the guy. MVS, way more question marks to me than Juju Smith-Schuster. Mecole Hardman has already been with Patrick Mahomes, and while I think from a best ball standpoint, he'll have some big breakout games, it's not going to be somebody that I consistently am counting on. And Sky Moore is a rookie. While I love Sky Moore, I don't think he's going to come in and outplay Juju Smith-Schuster from the go. So I think Juju is the guy that you are targeting if you are looking for a non-Travis Kelce pass catcher there.
I think that's fair, but he's also been drafted well before these other guys. You know what I mean? So his ADP is climbing, and there's more and more hype, and he's to a point where I haven't drafted him much. I just don't have him on many teams. I'd rather throw a dart at one of those other guys, especially a Sky Moore, who I think is awesome.
Where do you feel? Where would you, if you say he's climbing, what area do you feel
him,
comfortable?
I have him 35th on my board, so I'm too low. I mean, he's being drafted as a wide receiver too by a lot of people. Wow. I think he's
a wide receiver three.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that. And I'd rather wait till closer to the double-digit rounds to take a Sky Moore.
Yeah, and we'll see. By the way, we'll see where the usage is for Juju. Like, he was completely... Like, the way that they used him in Pittsburgh these past two seasons was much a byproduct of Ben Roethlisberger's diminishing arm strength, right? He was like he was a running back. Like, he was catching passes, like, at the line of scrimmage all the time. So,
I think that's part of this ranking, right? We don't know because of how bad that Pittsburgh offense has been the last 2 years.
Anybody who tells you they know how the Chiefs offense is going to look this year, specifically amongst the wide receivers, is lying. By the way, so Daniel mentioned Marquez Valdes-Scantling. We'll just knock him out here. I'll just quickly say, too, that 3 years, $30 million, that's a lot of money. But it's not like he was playing with a player who was bad in Green Bay. He played with Aaron Rodgers and never could carve out a consistent role. The Chiefs are betting bigger. I'm not quite willing to go there. Mike, it makes a very fair point at cost, which is what we say when it's like, if you're drafting him as the 58th wide receiver off the board, it's hard for me to argue with it because he could. There's a 25% chance he's a top 25 wide receiver this year, and it's a great value. But I just would, my hesitation is simply that if he couldn't get it done in Green Bay, where there wasn't a lot of competition for targets, and you play with a Hall of Fame quarterback, why should I be super confident that you can do it in Kansas City?
And talk about the ultimate edge of your seat player, right? Since he entered the league, MVS, first in yards per reception, first in average depth of target, dead last in catch rate. So it's going deep, it's going long, and you're just praying, and it's 50-50 shot, almost exactly a 50-50 shot
that's
going to be caught. So it's kind of a fun player, and he might play a similar role in Kansas City.
They need someone to.
I just, last thing for me on MVS, the idea that you look at the fact that this offense and everything that it has, MVS, when he was in Green Bay, had Davante Adams and Alan Lazard ahead of him. Was there anybody else that I'm missing that was really ahead of him? I mean, maybe Randall Cobb.
There were years. It just sort of depended on the year.
Okay, and now who does he have in front of him? Like, now I feel like the idea of this Travis Kelce, Juju Smith-Schuster, Sky Moore, Mecole Hardman. Mm-hmm. I just feel like there are more mouths in that offense. Even if they aren't all better than him, there are just more places for that offense to be able to run through.
He's an interesting one for sure. Let's go to Florida for a couple. Mike, you're lowest on Chase Edmonds. I'm at 30. I'm at 35 for running backs. I got to be honest with you. I'm starting to wonder if I need to scale things back a little bit. Where are you at on Chase Edmonds, though? Yeah. Or why, I should say, are you at where you're at?
Well, first of all, he's never been over 116 carries, and he was the lead back for quite a while in Arizona last season. The carries were kind of there, and he didn't hold up. Yeah. Again, like, he's the kind of guy, like we talked about, James Cook might always be kind of a situational player, and that's Edmonds. So, look, top 10 in catches and receiving yards the past couple of years. He's going to be involved heavily when they're throwing the football, which has value in PPR. Maybe gives him some fringe RB2 value in PPR, but never going to get enough carries. And they have three other backs they possibly want to use, certainly Raheem Mostert and Sony Michel. So cap ceiling, and that's why I'm a pinch lower here.
Yeah, I was going to say, unless the passing game role is like the only reason they signed him for, I'm a little bit more nervous. Mm-hmm. Because, and by the way, they have a lot of great pass catchers amongst their wide receivers. It's not like in Arizona, where it was DeAndre Hopkins and James Conner and him, I guess Zach Ertz to a degree late in the year, like it's Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill, Mike Gesicki and Cedric Wilson and maybe some of the backs themselves too. So there's a lot of mouths to feed in Miami. Last one, Christian Kirk generated a ton of conversation this year. 4-year deal maxed out at $84 million. Daniel, I think he has 2 career 100-yard games. I think the quarterback should be much better, that being Trevor Lawrence, but there are too many names that are way too more certain of options for me to be investing much in Christian Kirk right now.
I agree. The only reason why I like taking Christian Kirk around this ADP is that I believe that I'm getting the wide receiver one for what could be a breakout quarterback this year, but I'm not planning on that being the case. He is a guy that is going to be a bench player for me, a wide receiver that I bring in that flex or bye week fill-ins. But I think there's some upside if that offense really breaks out this year, potentially.
Yeah, inexpensive offense, and they have the easiest schedule in fantasy. So it's a little fun. If you grab Kirk, maybe even if you have another quarterback, take a shot on Trevor Lawrence. You can always drop him if it doesn't work out. But if that battery works out and they have that light schedule and they go off this year, I mean, that, again, how many years do we have to go through this where the number one quarterback selected or a first round quarterback breaks out? Every year it happens, and we always wait till the later rounds to take them. And every Burrow and Wentz and Murray and Lamar and Mahomes, every year. Who's it going to be this year? Could be Trey Lance. Certainly could be Trevor Lawrence.
Let's come back and discuss first round ADP in a minute. But first, a couple of ads from some of our great sponsors, including NerdWallet. Because when it comes to choosing the top running back, wide receiver, quarterback, even which defense is right for your team on any given week, you know where to turn. But when you're trying to decide on the right credit card for your wallet, the right mortgage lender for your dream home, or the right savings account, where do you go? The nerds at NerdWallet are here to help you make a smart financial decision. NerdWallet is a personal finance site run by money nerds. Think people as obsessed about personal finance as we are about fantasy football, who want to share their knowledge with our listeners, help them find the right financial products for them. Let's say you're looking for a new rewards credit card. NerdWallet can help you compare cashback cards side by side so you can feel confident choosing the one that suits your spending. Think of them like your weekly wide receiver PPR rankings. We were just talking about those, but you're comparing top credit cards that work for you. Ready to make a financial decision? Compare and find top credit cards, savings accounts, and more at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, the smartest decision for all your financial decisions. NerdWallet Compare, Inc., and MLS 1617539. NerdWallet is not an investment advisor nor an investment broker. Information is for educational purposes only.
You know, Field, that was a great read.
Thank you.
And you know something else?
What?
It's amazing the first time you discover something that really made an impact on your life. Like this ridiculous job Field and I have where we get to hang out with buddies like Daniel and talk about football for a living. What if the same thing could happen to you with your job?
Yes. There's no way.
What if there's an awesome job out there that was made for you? Well, thanks to ZipRecruiter, that job is easier to find than you think. ZipRecruiter works for you to make finding a job easier. Like a personal recruiter, ZipRecruiter sends you jobs that are a great match for your skills and experience. They also help you discover new job opportunities that are the right fit for you. No wonder ZipRecruiter is the number one rated job site by G2. Are you ready to find a new job or better job? With ZipRecruiter, that job could be right around the corner. What job will ZipRecruiter help you discover? Find out at ZipRecruiter.com.
All right, this discussion is going to be brought to you by Geico. We are talking about round one ADP and what everything looks like right now. Switch to Geico today and see all the ways that you could save. And guys, round one, ADP. Let's say you want to jump into a mock draft today. We're looking at just the first round. Right now, 1.1, it's pretty clear that it's Jonathan Taylor. I'm curious if you guys have any kerfuffles with that. Would you rather go a different way?
I could make the case really easily. Over the past 4 years, Christian McCaffrey, 25.7 fantasy points per game when he's healthy.
Yep.
Until Christian McCaffrey got hurt, he never got hurt, right? So everybody's, hey, Jonathan never gets hurt. Well, Christian McCaffrey missed 0 games during his first 3 seasons. I will make this very quick. When you have the first pick in your fantasy draft, you can tolerate a guy having a really solid season, even if it's a little bit below expectations. What's really hard to tolerate is if you pick a guy and he gets hurt, especially if it's happened before. So it would be like, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me, which is why I think Jonathan Taylor will end up going 1.01 in most leagues. But I can make the case for Christian McCaffrey, and it's not a difficult one at all. I will not bat an eyelash if someone takes CMC number one in my league.
Agreed. Agree, 100%. I mean, we all have him, McCaffrey, ranked basically number two, right, at running back or as a top 3 overall pick. So if you're willing to take him there, you're willing to take him first, right? We're not too worried about the injury risk, right? We have him up there. That's fine if you want to take him with the first pick. It's not a knock on him. It's just Jonathan Taylor, really good at football, just dominated the position last year. And check this out, 26 carries inside the 5 last year for Jonathan Taylor, the most in a single season in the league has seen since 2012.
Yep. Wow. Led all players in rushes, rushing attempts, rushing touchdowns, rushes of 20-plus yards as well. And he had 40 catches, so I get
catches
it for Jonathan
Taylor.
Catches
could go
Taylor.
Up a little bit, yep. too. Yeah.
Totally.
All right, you said CMC potentially in that spot for number two, but right now ADP has Cooper Kupp at 1.2 with all of those. You mentioned it earlier, those layups. Cooper Kupp is the king of layup passes right now in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Any issues with him being 1.2?
I do, but not a huge issue, right? Like, I'm not going to begrudge somebody for taking him there. I just think the positional value is so different at running back versus wide receiver that you could find a wide receiver one further down the board than you can a running back one. I would take Christian McCaffrey, but
agreed.
Cooper Kupp led the NFL in catches, targets, receiving yards, receiving touchdowns. He had at least 7 targets in every game. He led the NFL in 20-plus yard receptions. He's a big play threat. He's also a short play threat, and that's good for PPR scoring.
Yeah, we probably overrate consistency a bit because it's so hard to predict, but he was top 12 15 of 17 weeks last season, which is just ridiculous. But I am worried about the fact that he's 29 years old, and it wasn't just a regular season where he had all that volume. It was all the way through the Super Bowl. Yeah. I mean, that is a ton to put on a player's plate. I hope he makes it another full season, but that's going to be tough.
Also, just Mike, I've learned this from Mike over the years. Super historical seasons are really tough to sustain year over year.
Yep. Absolutely. All right. We mentioned Christian McCaffrey right now. He's going at 1.3. Zero issues with that there. The next two, Austin Eckler and Derrick Henry coming off the board at 4 and 5. Austin Eckler coming off first, Mike, before Derrick Henry. Do you think this is in part because of the injury concern with Derrick Henry returning, or do you think that there's something with Austin Eckler and his pass catching volume here that just has fans liking him more?
I think it's that and a really good offense with Justin Herbert too. I think those are the few things. Eckler also had a very high floor last year, 9.5 points every single game at a very minimum. You were getting 10 points out of him basically. The concern there, touchdowns,
20 to your point, last year.
They're going to come down. His expected total was right around 11. He had 20. History tells us 95% chance that drops, and probably substantially. It could be 12.
Yep.
12, 11, something like that. That's about where I expect him to be. So keep that in mind. But again, big, super talented, great offense, big role in the passing game. Right. He'll still be a good RB1.
He holds up for a guy of his stature. Yeah. He got hurt right at the end of the preseason last year, which dropped his ADP late, plunge in the last week before the season. It should not have plunged. Also leads all running backs in catches, targets, and receiving yards over the past 3 seasons. I believe receiving touchdowns as well. So he's Christian McCaffrey light
again
in terms of ability.
And a great offense. Pass catcher and a running back and a great offense. All right, 1.6 and 1.7. Back-to-back wide receivers here. Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase. I think Justin Jefferson is clearly...
I would argue, by the way, that pick 5 is where things get murky on my board.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I would just say, like, I think if I were to... Like, my top 4... in this order, Jonathan Taylor, Christian McCaffrey, Austin Eckler, Cooper Kupp. Mm-hmm. And I'm open to other arguments, but I think from 5 on, it gets a little tricky just because you can start to make cases against some of these players. Derrick Henry, the age, the foot injury, we only saw 1 game. Those 2 receivers you mentioned, Daniel, I absolutely love both of them. I think they are 100% going to return like close to cost. I just think the question, Mike, is it worth taking Ja'Marr Chase or Justin Jefferson when you could have potentially Stephon Diggs at the top of the second round or Deebo Samuel at the top of the second round and have instead Najee Harris as your top running back?
Yeah, and I think that they're just there's a big 3 at wide receiver, so I'm okay with them, guys, just because they're on just another level, right? They're just so good. They're, 1-2 on my dynasty rankings. So Chase and Jefferson.
Like, by a mile, by the way.
Yeah, right. I mean, they are just far and away so good, so they can be outliers, right? They can be guys where you just take them. You know, they're more likely or less likely to be injured than the running backs. You just feel great about having that guy, you know, is going to see around double digit targets every game. And by the way, Ja'Marr Chase was like 18th in targets last year. I think that'll go up in his second season naturally. The efficiency will come down a little bit. The volume will go up. So,
and the consistency too. He had some weird game logs last year, Ja'Marr Chase did.
100%. Yeah. I agree with that. And Justin Jefferson, I mean, leads the NFL in receiving yards his first 2 seasons. Yeah. Huge target share. Maybe is his best season with the new offense there. They're going to utilize him. They say he's going to be in the Cooper Kupp role. He's already super productive, right? You don't really have to change anything. He's going to be fine. So, but either guy, I'm fine taking over any running back, honestly. I mean, you want to take Jefferson 1.1? I can't really argue with you. Yeah. I wouldn't do it. I would take Taylor and McCaffrey, but I get it.
Yeah, draft theorem. And these guys are going to, I think I have on my top 150, I think Ja'Marr Chase is 9th. So, I'm talking about him 2 spots higher, being like, I'm nitpicking, but these guys are all incredible.
Next couple we have here on this list, Najee Harris at 1.8, Devontae Adams at 1.9. With the trade to the Raiders, if he had not, Devontae Adams had not been traded, I'm assuming he would be higher on this list. But yeah, even with that being said, Najee Harris and Dalvin Cook right there sandwiching Devontae Adams. Would you rather have either running back field, or would you like to stick with the idea that like Devontae Adams has been the guy in the NFL over the last 3 years?
Basically, like, erase the names here and just talk about the what they are. Like, elite running back, elite wide receiver, elite running back, who would you take? And I would tell you, like, elite, I'm taking back the two running backs, generally speaking, right? Najee Harris probably has the best chance other than Jonathan Taylor and Derek Henry to lead the NFL in total touches. Led all running backs in catches last year. Like, he's a big factor in the passing game, even with a new quarterback. The efficiency, I don't think, will be great. I'm not sure the Steelers offense is going to be like dominant along the offensive line, even with some new pieces, but Workhorse is massive. And he's just like a really freaking good, he's a 240-pound cyborg.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, it's kind of disappointing they didn't improve the offensive line much. You know, they brought in James Daniels. I thought they would make more of an effort to do that. They did not. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So it might be the same as last year. And guess what? He was what, RB3 last season? I mean, it worked out. So I think we view him very much like last year. Huge volume, efficiency will be okay. Offense is probably not going to score a lot, but at the end of the day, he'll be a mid-range RB1.
What about Dalvin Cook, though? Because we talk about how he's potentially supposed to catch more passes here, but he also, there's nobody else in this list in the top 12 that has another player on their team that is a top 10 player. And Dalvin Cook and Justin Jefferson,
let me ask Mike something.
Okay.
And I think I know where I get where you're coming from. Like, hey, is there too much competition from two teammates to have both?
That offense, I don't think, is that is good enough.
I think it's pretty good. Like, Kirk Cousins played really well.
Two top 10 total players.
I think so. I think it is A and B. Rob, you said DJ Moore was the unluckiest wide receiver in terms of touchdowns. I don't know if you know this off the top of your head. Dalvin Cook feels unlucky. He had 6 rushing touchdowns last year. He's getting the opportunities. It just feels like dumb luck has worked against him.
Yeah, so my column's coming out about the unluckiest and luckiest touchdown scores. It's actually in that magazine on newsstands as well, and Cook is on that list. So he was very unlucky last year. But also he had a career low in targets, and are we sure his volume is going to go up? So maybe he gets a few more targets than the 3.5 a game he saw last year, but you know, it's a new offense. Maybe they decide, you know what, we're going to use Kenny Nwangu and we're going to use Alex Madison, right? They drafted Ty Chandler, right? Yeah. I've heard some, you know, reports that maybe they will try to do that and take a little bit of the workload off. He's getting a little older. He's been extremely overworked. So, again, it's Dalvin Cook. I think he'll end up as a mid-range RB1, but I'm not sure he has that elite ceiling we've been drafting him at the past couple of years.
He's awesome in the passing game, specifically on screens, though. Yeah. He's so good. And, you know, one thing about this Vikings team, maybe this will change the new coaching staff, but they are always in weird games where, like, they are throwing until the last second because they have to, which could create more opportunities for Cook.
All right, here's the last question that I have for you guys. We got Deebo Samuel and Stephon Diggs rounding out the first round.
And Diggs 11, Samuel Diggs 11, at 12.
Deebo Samuel 12. I got to be honest. Like, when I look at this first round, the ADP here, there's like 5 guys that I would also be okay that are not on this list being in my first round that I would be okay with. Joe Mixon, DeAndre Swift. I think I would potentially take either one of those guys here over Deebo or Stephon Diggs, to your point, Field.
I mean, I think the biggest takeaway is that we've got 6 receivers and 6 running backs. Like, that to me is
too many receivers.
I have no issue with any of these guys. Like, I'm going to say this 1,000 times today, and I'll say it 1,000 times over the next month as well. Like, they're all worthwhile first round picks. It's just the idea that I could have, if you go to the 3rd or 4th round, at some point, the dip, you're going to see the dip, right? For running backs. And you can make whatever your case is, that the dip is either running back 15 or 18. I'm just telling you that the wide receiver dip comes a lot later. Right, like the 25th best running back this year is not even close to created equally to the 25th best wide receiver. It could be like Terry McLaurin as someone's wide receiver 25. The guy could have 1,200 yards, 10 touchdowns, and 100 catches, and no one will be surprised this year. Meanwhile, the 25th running back this year might be like, I don't know, it could be Cordarrelle Patterson or Damian Harris, who were really good last year, but like they could each not even lead their own team in carries or touchdowns this year, and that wouldn't surprise us either, right?
Yeah, I think the case to go wide receiver in this area is that it feels like, and I wrote about this in the playbook article, which is this a year of a changing of the guard at running back, right? Because so many of the superstars are 27, 28 years old. Derrick Henry, Austin Eckler even is 27 now. And then you have all these young guys kind of right on the cusp, like J.K. Dobbins and Cam Akers and Breece Hall. You know, is it a year where they start to, you know, they get beat up and fall off a little bit, and then that next group of young guys jumps in that's being drafted in the 4th and 5th and 6th round? So that's the case, I think, for it. History says this is the age where the running backs start to fall off, and that's I think, the case for it. But at the same time, like you said, you have a couple running backs in here. I like DeAndre Swift as well. These receivers are fine. I've been drafting Debo a lot. I feel like Debo's a little undervalued right now. We'll see how they utilize him.
Wide back.
Yeah, wide back. Is it going to be the same, though? Like, is it going to be early first half Debo or second half?
I feel like it's more early half Debo.
Yeah, I think it'll be more targets, less carries, but some carries, you know? Yeah. But they did draft another running back, and, you know, so...
Another draft another running back? What do you know?
What?
Another 49ers drafted running back. It's a tradition unlike any other.
Who leads the team in touches week one?
I'm going Elijah Mitchell, but...
Not Matt Breida, like they claim him off waivers and he starts. You never know.
Austin Walter is going to get signed with, like, the Saints and then like waived on the cut down day. Anyways,
every time.
All right, that's ADP. Again, we'll talk about ADP a whole lot more over the next month because it's a very, very pertinent topic this time of the year. Average draft position. So if you did a summary of every single draft taking place on ESPN, the first player on average, Jonathan Taylor. Number two, Cooper Kupp, et cetera, et cetera. Hey, Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Well, of course you would. After all, who doesn't love a great deal, right? And when it comes to great rates on insurance for all the things in your life, Geico can help, like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. It even helps with homeowners, condo, or renters insurance. You could save even more with a special discount when you bundle your coverages, plus add the easy-to-use Geico mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and choosing to switch to Geico becomes an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote or contact your local agent and get started seeing how much you could save.
Summer is all about outdoor cookouts, meeting up with family, and determining the draft order of your fantasy football league. And you know what that means? Plenty of Miller time. The delicious taste of Miller Lite is what summer is all about, no matter what you're doing. And with just 96 calories and 3.2 carbs per 12-ounce serving, it's the perfect light beer to sip on all summer long. In a world of endless scrolling through delivery options, you know what you're getting when you get a Miller Lite. You're getting beer.
Yeah.
It's for those who actually want to taste their beer. Because light beer should taste like beer, not water. Mm. This summer, have more fun with Beer Lovers Light Beer, the great-tasting 96-calorie Miller Lite. There's just nothing like that first sip of an ice-cold beer on a hot summer day. Well, maybe landing that first overall pick in your fantasy draft, but you get the idea. Miller time. Miller time is for when you love the things you're doing the most. So next time, when you're getting ready to enjoy the cold ones with your crew, go to MillerLite.com/FFF to find delivery options near you. Or you can pick up some Miller Lite pretty much anywhere they sell beer. It's Miller time. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories and 3.2 carbs per 12 ounces.
I like that pause you had in there. I got to think about Miller time a little bit.
You got to think about it for just a minute. What is Miller time?
And drinking Miller time at, first of all, Miller Lite, fantastic beer. One of my favorites. You guys know I love beer. It's a tremendous summer beer. I love it. Oh, yeah. I love it, especially when I'm drinking it by Mike Clay's pool.
Yes, me too. I was just going to say, I'm going to go home and, well, tomorrow they're putting the pool in. I'm going to sit on my patio with some Miller Lite and watch them build that pool while you guys are here working.
Can I ask you some questions before you do that?
Yeah, YouTube chat, please.
Do you mind? I'm excited now. You should have waited till the end for the Miller Lite.
Well, I'm
now
sorry about that. Well, it was almost at the end. All right, so we got a couple questions from our YouTube chat I want to ask you guys really quickly. First question comes from, I'm so sorry, Trevor Wiley. How do you think that Derrick Henry will do after coming back from his injury last season?
Great. He was the number one running back by 40 points when he got injured last year. Dominant rusher, huge carry totals. I don't think that changes. I know A.J. Brown, they have to rely on him. I think he has another big year in the tank.
I was just going
to
say, the Titans don't really have a choice here, right? Yes. Like some teams, if you're Pittsburgh, you can talk about the long-term play with Najee Harris, or if you're Minnesota, you've got other guys. Like that backfield in Tennessee, yes, they added Hassan Reddick in the draft, but it is still very much Derrick Henry's largely unto himself. And Stefania recently said or suggested she's good with his foot. If she's good, I'm good.
Yeah, Hassan Haskins.
Who did I say? Hassan Reddick?
Taken. He's on the Eagles. But Hassan Haskins, underrated insurance back, though. Yeah, I mean, we saw them put Deontay Foreman in that role last year. Just fill him right in. I mean, he's an underrated insurance back.
All right, R. Peaver wants to know, will we discuss running a league on ESPN for the show here in the next few days? Last year, we did a Survivor League, if you remember.
Oh, yeah.
You guys want to figure out what we want to do for a show league again this year?
Totally doing a Survivor League. Also, I was talking about this with Damian, who's going to do an awesome job as our content lead this year. Huge part of our progress and success this season about how something like 92% of leagues on ESPN.com are 10-team PPR mm-hmm. leagues, right down the middle. A lot of leagues we play in are like 12 teams or like 19 teams with like half point for running back PPR and 0.29 points for tight end. It's like the goofiest leagues ever. We're going to play. We got to get at least one 10-team league amongst the show staff. Mm-hmm. A lot of 10-team leagues is good for your, just good for your overall health.
I agree with that. I'm with you on there. Please keep sending a ton of YouTube questions. We're going to be answering questions from our YouTube chat literally all season long. That is going to be our go-to. So keep throwing in your questions there and come hang out with us for the live stream. If you're an audio fan, if you love listening to the audio podcast, we're not asking you to stop, but every once in a while,
yeah,
why not jump in and see what the video product's like? It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, a lot of people still work from home these days. Just pop the iPad on one screen. Right. Mm-hmm. You get the computer for your actual job on the other screen. We'll probably not to distract you too much. Are you busy tomorrow morning, 11 a.m. Eastern time?
I think I'm doing this podcast.
Okay, I will see you then. Okay. Mike, you are going to be probably
having a Miller Lite.
Three Miller Lights deep tomorrow.
Like, yeah. Feet up on the table, watching the pool go in. There and you then go, I'm getting Mike in the Clay. Pool.
It's the hard knock life over at the Clay household that much.
One day off. I'll be back
for sure. Great to be back. We are so fired up for the season ahead. Fantasy Focus returns tomorrow.
If you need a stick of Tide, Field is your guide. If you're in Bristol or in Farmington, you should find another ride. Candidly, he hates Mike Clay. And you know that it's a fact. Every Yater's gonna Yate. 'Cause he's on TV every day. A spicy tomato who's got the stats and tweets that'll make you laugh. He's our favorite host, and everybody knows his name. He's Field Yates.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
Throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.